Let's turn to the book of Proverbs. We have, several weeks now, we have been going through the books of the Bible, giving an overview of the books. I've been doing this with our teens on Saturday afternoon and the adults on Sunday morning, because I feel like it's something that, regardless of our age, it's something that we need to know. It's something, even if we already know it, we need to be reminded of it, so that we see how that this Bible that we hold in our hand is not just a collection of stories that have been thrown together to take up space. They are united in telling a unified story of God's dealings among men, what He has done in the past, what He is doing today, and what He's going to do in the future. And it's amazing as you get in and you see how it all just kind of just comes together like a hand in a glove, and it fits together so beautifully. And so the book of Proverbs this morning is what we're going to be looking at. And the book of Proverbs is the most probably the most practical book for us in all of the Old Testament. And the reason why I say it is the most practical is simply because of the fact that the book of Proverbs teaches us about the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of God. It's God's instructions for living our life skillfully. That's what wisdom is. It's living life skillfully. And these are God's instructions for that. The wisdom that we find in this book is that it's that heavenly wisdom that we need in our everyday lives. And the value of that wisdom is stated for us very clearly in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 13 and verse not down to verse number 18. It says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than of fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy." Happy is most of the people who find it. No, that's not what it says, is it? No, happy is everyone that retaineth her. Everywhere I've ever been in the world, you know what? I've talked to people, and I notice that people everywhere in the world have the same desire. You know what their desire is? Everybody. They won't be happy. Right here's the answer, folks. Right here. Happy is the man. Find God's wisdom, and happy is everybody that retaineth her. Here's the secret right here. You'll never find real happiness walking in disobedience to this book. You'll never find real happiness in walking in disobedience to the wisdom of God. You want to be happy? Here's the answer right here. And so in this book, we find the great value of wisdom. And so therefore, when we remember that, it's no wonder then that James said in James chapter 1, verse number 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God." If you don't have the wisdom that brings the happiness that you desire, then you need to do business with God. You need to seek God's face. And the wisdom that God gives to us that's found here in this book of Proverbs is it's presented in what we call maxims. And basically what that means is it is short statements that express an observation, or they express a principle that is generally accepted as being wise or true. These maxims are practical. They're not theoretical. They're practical. They're practical. They're easily memorized. And there are timeless truths that touch every aspect of our human relationships. Every aspect of human relationship is found in the book of Proverbs. Someone, I think, has said it very wisely. They said, reading a proverb only takes a few seconds, but applying a proverb can take a lifetime. Just reading it, that's very easy. Like that, you're done. But applying that to your life, that can take years. That can take a whole lifetime. Take a whole lifetime. And so let's begin our study, our survey, by noticing together that this book of Proverbs contains 31 chapters. Contains 31 chapters. Also contains 915 verses. 915 verses. Number one, as you follow along, the introduction. The introduction. And first of all, we see the name. The name. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And it's from that verse that in the Hebrew Bible you find the title for this book. In the Hebrew Bible it is called Mishael Shlomo, which simply means Proverbs of Solomon. Teachings of Solomon. However, because he did not believe that Solomon was the only writer of this book of Proverbs, Jerome, in his Latin Vulgate from 390 to 405, simply entitled it Book of Proverbs. He left the name of Solomon out. He just called it Book of Proverbs, and that's the title that was adopted and brought over into our English Bible. And that's why we today call it the Book of Proverbs. Notice number two, or letter B, the penman. The penman, as we've already said many times before, and as we're going to say in every one of the books that we study, God is the author. God is the author. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So God is the author. But when we talk about the human penman that God used to write down the things that are found here in the book of Proverbs, we need to understand that the Bible makes it very clear who the writer is of this book. Now you remember back in the book of 1 Kings chapter 4, verse number 32. And 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32, the Bible says concerning Solomon, and he spake 3,000 proverbs. 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. So Solomon was not only prolific in the writing of these maxims, these words of wisdom, these proverbs, but he was also quite a songwriter, and has composed 1,005 songs. But certainly no man could be considered, humanly speaking, no man could be considered more capable and more qualified of writing a book like the book of Proverbs than King Solomon. Humanly speaking, no one could be more capable, more qualified. And the reason for that is because you remember there came a day when the Lord God basically gave to Solomon a blank check. You remember back in the book of 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 5, God said to Solomon, Solomon, ask what I shall give thee. Ask what I shall give thee. Imagine if God said that to you. Whatever you want, Gopal, anything, name it. What would you ask for? Don't answer. What would you ask for? What would I ask for? Here God gives to Solomon a blank check. Solomon, you're young, you're a new king, just coming into your reign, just coming to the throne of your power. What do you want? What do you want? Well, he could have asked for many things. He could have asked for peace in his land. He could have asked for prosperity. He could have asked for safety from enemies. He could have a great multitude of things that he could have asked for. But when Solomon was asked the question, What shall I give you? Whatever you want, just ask me. And Solomon asked for wisdom. You can read about it. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 6 down to verse number 9. He asked for wisdom. And because Solomon asked for wisdom, God granted him the wisdom that he asked for. God granted him that wisdom. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 30, verse number 31, that God gave to Solomon such an extent of wisdom, the Bible says that Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. The east country was to the east. Egypt was sort of to the southwest a little bit. All of that, nobody could be found wiser than Solomon. He was the wisest man who ever lived. And it was simply because of the fact that he asked God for this wisdom. And as a result of the wisdom God gave to him, 1 Kings chapter 4, verse number 34, the Bible says that people came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. People came to hear it. Even kings and queens came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Such was his reputation, and such was the wisdom that he had. However, it should be noted that not all of the Proverbs of Solomon are recorded in this book called the Book of Proverbs. Remember we said, where we saw in the Scripture where Solomon wrote 3,000 Proverbs, right? And yet when you count them up in the Book of Proverbs, there's only about 900 of them that are recorded for us. Only about 900 are recorded. And so the writer, very clearly, the penman, is Solomon. Solomon. Then I want you to notice the date. Solomon's Proverbs were obviously written before he died in 931 B.C. And it's believed that most of these Proverbs were written in the early years of his life and his reign. You see, Solomon went through a period in his life when he turned against God's wisdom. All of the wisdom God gave to him in the beginning, there came a time when Solomon turned against that, and he began to walk according to the wisdom of the world. And we believe that there was a time after that when Solomon repented of his rebellion and his foolishness, and he turned back to God's wisdom. And that's what the book of Ecclesiastes that we're going to talk about next week, that's what that's all about. That's his exploration of worldly wisdom. So here in Proverbs we find godly wisdom, but he turned away from that, began to walk in the wisdom of the world, but eventually repented in his old age, came back to the wisdom of God. And so therefore, because of that, we're going to say that this book was probably written between 715 to 686 B.C. Somewhere in that time frame, we'll call that the date for the writing of the book. The time for the writing of the book. The reason why it is so late, the reason why it is such a late date, is because the book as we have it is not as Solomon wrote it. And you'll understand that more in just a minute. But there came a time after Solomon was dead that King Hezekiah found some of the writings of Solomon, and he added them to the book. And so it came to its final form, as we have it, about this date that we have here. Now, let's notice number two, the purpose of it. And first of all, there is the historical purpose. The historical purpose. There's a certain phrase, as you read through the book of Proverbs and the beginning of the book, you find this phrase, it's used 46 times. The phrase is, "My son." My son. Now, if Solomon had a daughter, he would have said, "My daughter." Okay, but this is addressed. This is addressed to his son. King Solomon's Book of Wisdom was his instructions that he was passing on to those sons who would follow him on the throne. And so therefore the purpose statement of the book, it's found in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2 to verse 5. Here's the reason why Solomon is writing. Here's the reason why he's writing. He's writing so that his sons might know wisdom. to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear, will increase in learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. And so here we find that this book is designed to help Solomon's sons to find wisdom that is needed through every stage of their mental development, through every stage of their life. He's providing wisdom that's going to guide them through every step. Through every step. Now, look at these verses again and just kind of make some notes here. Notice, first of all, he talks about the simple man. He begins with the simple man. You know who the simple man is? The simple man is the man who is childish. He's immature. By the way, that is not restricted by age. It's not restricted by age. Yeah, children are childish and immature, but you know what? Sometimes adults just never have outgrown it. And so to the childish, to the immature, regardless of what their chronological age may be, the purpose of this book is to give them subtlety, good sense. Good sense. Notice to the young man, those who have matured a little bit, the young man, the purpose of this book is to give to the young man knowledge, discretion. In other words, how to discern properly what is right, what is wrong. That's the purpose of this wisdom. It's to help the young man. He's no longer childish and immature. He's matured, but he still needs some things. He needs knowledge. He needs discretion. And once they have learned that, then I want you to notice we find that now we have a wise man. And for the wise man, the purpose of this book is to give increased learning. Good news, Brother Yap. We never learn at all. We're always learning. Even for those who attain to wisdom, those elderly folks who have already been down the road and they've more learning, more wisdom is needed. More wisdom is needed. Increased learning. Until eventually you become a man of understanding. The man of understanding, that's simply the one who has learned God's wisdom. He's been down the road of life, and he's qualified to give wise counsel. Now, I'll just tell you right now, for those of you who are younger, when you come to difficulties and you come to problems in your life and you need counsel, you have a choice. You can go to your friends who are as ignorant as you are. Okay? That's what, by the way, that's what Solomon's son did. Read the story. And he ignored the counsel of the old men. He went to his friends who were just as ignorant as he was, and he ended up destroying everything that David and his dad Solomon had made. He lost it all. Lost it all. So you have a choice. You can either go to those who don't know any more than you know, or you can seek out counsel of the wise man. That's why I'm thrilled that we have young people in our church, but we have middle-aged people, but I'm glad we have some of the old-timers around who've been down the road. You'd be wise to listen to what they say. They've learned some things along the pathway of life. Listen to the ancients, like Pastor Moore. Listen to those who've been around. Learn from them. Learn from them. Wise counsel. All of that. Through every stage of the lives of Solomon's sons, he's giving them this wisdom so it will meet every need that they're going to face. Words of wisdom and instruction. Those two terms complement each other, don't they? Wisdom, instruction. Wisdom simply means skill. Instruction means discipline. The fact of the matter is, no skill is perfected without discipline. No skill is ever perfected without discipline. And the book of Proverbs deals with the most fundamental skill of all. What is the most fundamental skill in your life? The most fundamental skill that is needed is the skill to live a life that pleases and glorifies God. That's the skill that we need. That's the skill that we need. And to do that requires knowledge, it requires some experience, it requires humility, a desire to put God's will ahead of our own will, to put God's thinking ahead of our own thinking, to put God's ways ahead of our own ways. That's what's required in order that we might have the skill needed to live a life that truly glorifies God. That's what Solomon wanted for his sons. And that's why he wrote this book of Proverbs. That's the historical purpose. That's the historical purpose. But then I want you to notice there's also the theological purpose. The theological purpose for the book. It's Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse number 10. You remember God told to Moses, He said, "Gather to me the people. And I will make, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children." Now we live in a day, according to Romans chapter 3, we live in a day where sin is rampant. And the reason why sin is rampant, Romans chapter 3 makes it very clear, the reason why is simply because of the fact there is no fear of God in their eyes. No fear of God. Where does the fear of God come from? What does it say? Hearing my words. Unfortunately, that same attitude has come to church. Even in churches, many times, people do not have a real fear of God. And the reason is because many times we neglect the Word of God. And when we neglect God's Word, it is impossible for us to learn to fear God. It's a learned thing. And as we study the wisdom of God and we compare it to the natural wisdom of the world, the result is going to be we're going to begin to fear God. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And the reason why it's a good thing, because Proverbs 1:7 tells us that it is the fear of God that is the beginning of knowledge. And it's the fear of God, Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it's the beginning of true wisdom. And so we need to understand the fear of God, very important, need to get into God's Word. That we might learn to fear the Lord. Now notice number 3, the story. The story. The story found in the book of Proverbs is not really a story because of the content of the book. It's a series of wisdom statements that are given. However, be that as it may, as you go through the book of Proverbs, you can find that it is broken down basically into 6 parts. First of all, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 7, we find what is called the prologue, or the introduction, if you would. But this is the prologue, or the introduction. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. And so in this prologue, in these verses, we find stated, first of all, the identity of the author. We find stated the statement of the theme. We've already reviewed that for you. We also find the declaration of the purpose. All of these are found in this prologue that Solomon gives in the first 7 verses. And then in the next section, we find the Proverbs to youth. The Proverbs to youth. This goes from chapter 1, verse 8, over to chapter 9, verse number 18. The Proverbs of youth. And in this series of Proverbs, we find that there are actually a collection of 10 exhortations. There is a collection of 10 exhortations, each one beginning with the words, "My son, my son, my son." These messages introduce the concept of wisdom in the format of a father's efforts to persuade his son to pursue the path of wisdom in order that he might achieve godly success in his life. And so he begins, first of all, with the first exhortation. The first exhortation, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8 to verse number 19. The first exhortation is simply, hear and be warned. Hear and be warned. In this first exhortation, Solomon admonishes his son to hear his father's instruction and to remember his mother's teachings. Hear. Remember. He also encourages son to resist the temptation of joining with those evil ones who would seek to drag them along, to join them in their sin and rebellion against God. He also warns them of the tragic consequences. Tragic consequences that always come when people forget God's wisdom. Tragic consequences. He warns them of that. And so in this first message, it's a message, hear and be warned. The second exhortation, Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 20 to verse number 33. The second exhortation is simply this. Do not reject wisdom. Don't reject God's wisdom. Understand that God's wisdom is wiser than man's wisdom. If you're going to reject anybody's wisdom, reject the wisdom of man. Seek to follow God's wisdom with all your heart. Don't reject wisdom. The third exhortation, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1 to verse 22. The third exhortation, seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. Then the fourth exhortation, by the way, this third exhortation, seek wisdom, it means to do right towards God's Word. A right attitude toward God's Word will result in discernment. It'll result in the ability to discern the fear of God. To discern what's right, what's wrong. And as a result of that discernment, the young man will be delivered from a wicked man. He'll be delivered from a wicked woman. He'll be able to walk in the way that is good and right and pleasing in the eyes of God. Seek wisdom. Seek wisdom. Fourth exhortation. Value wisdom. Value wisdom. Usually people hold on the tightest to that which they value the most. See, Solomon in the beginning greatly valued wisdom more than anything else. That's what he asked for. Good decisions in the past, however, do not guarantee success for the future. He made a good decision then, but as time went by, his value of God's wisdom began to decline. Value true wisdom. Value true wisdom. Fifth exhortation, acquire wisdom. Acquire true wisdom. Proverbs 4, verse 1 to verse 27. Choose between the way of wisdom and the way of the wicked. Choose which way you're going to go. And seek to go in that way and do everything you can to learn to acquire the wisdom of God. And then be careful to guard your heart. Be careful to guard your tongue. Be careful to guard your steps with all diligence. And then he's going to give some examples. The sixth exhortation, avoid strange women. Now that doesn't mean women who are weird. That's not what he's talking about. There are plenty of them around, but that's not what he's talking about. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the folly. Avoid the foolishness. Avoid the folly and the destruction of the whoremonger. Guard your heart. Avoid the strange woman. He He goes on, he talks about the blessedness of marriage and the relationship that God has created between a husband and wife and the relationship that is carried out within the parameters of godly marriage. Be careful of the strange woman. He then goes on and he warns his son in Proverbs 6, verse 1 to verse 35, the seventh exhortation. He warns him to avoid follies. To avoid follies. And there are several follies that he mentions. He talks about the folly of financial debt. That is a folly, by the way. That is a folly. Financial debt. He talks about the follies of laziness. Laziness. He talks about the follies of contentions. People that are always contentious. You know, some people, they'd rather fight than eat when they're hungry. They're just always picking a fight or arguing about something. They're just contentious. They're the kind of people, you see them coming and you try to slip away and hope they didn't notice, you know. Just contentious. That's folly. That's folly. Solomon warns about that. He also warns about the folly, again, of the evil woman. The follies of evil women. Then we come to the eighth exhortation. The strange woman. Wait a minute. He just talked about the strange woman. And then he talks about the follies of evil women. And now he's back on the subject of strange women again. Let me just tell you, there's a reason for that. There's a reason for that. One of the greatest dangers in the life of a young man, and remember, he's writing to his son, right? Writing to his son. One of the greatest dangers in your life are the temptations that are going to come in regards to an improper relationship with women. Pornography, internet, all the other things that are so readily available in this day. And by the way, you don't even need to be connected to the internet. Just walk down Orchard Road and see how some people dress. We need to learn, like the wise man said, Job. He made the promise with himself that he would put no evil thing before his eyes. You need to watch what you... That's kind of dumb, isn't it? Of course you're going to watch what you watch. What I mean is you need to be careful what you watch. That's a better way to say it. You need to be careful what you're going to look at. You need to guard your heart. You need to guard your eyes. Because men, especially, and by the way, women get caught up in this stuff too, so I've been told. But men especially, you need to be careful. You need to be careful. That's why Solomon warned his son once, and then he warned him again, and now a third time he warns him. Be careful. Stay away. Beware of this strange woman. And he gives some very good reasons. Proverbs 7, verse 1 to 21. Two reasons why. First of all, her way leads to death. Her way leads to death. And not only that, her way leads to damnation. Serious consequence. Serious consequence. It's the ninth exhortation. The ninth exhortation. Wisdom equals life. You want to truly live? You want to truly have to live life to the fullest? You want to have the greatest happiness that life can have to offer you? Find God's wisdom. Wisdom equals life. Proverbs 8, verse 1 to verse 36. And then the tenth exhortation is sort of sums it all up. Santa sums it up. After giving the nine exhortations, now here's the tenth exhortation. It's very simple. Choose life. Choose wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1 to verse 18. Make the right choices in your life. Choose to follow God's wisdom. Choose to put God's way first. Choose wisdom. Choose wisdom. Then we come to the next section in the book. Proverbs chapter 10 to verse 24, we find the Proverbs of Solomon. As you go through these Proverbs, you'll find that there's a minimal amount of topical arrangement. In other words, these are not really given in a great sense of order. It's just proverb after proverb after proverb after proverb going down through there. And there are some 375 proverbs that are given in that section of Scripture. And then we see the compiled proverbs, Proverbs chapter 25 to chapter 29. These are those proverbs of Solomon that were compiled. I mentioned it earlier. King Hezekiah found these proverbs. Proverbs chapter 25 verse 1 tells us, and he had them copied out and added them to the book that Solomon had written. But these are those proverbs that King Hezekiah copied out and introduced into the book. And then we find in Proverbs chapter 30, we find the words of Agur. In Proverbs chapter 30, we find the wisdom of Agur. And then in Proverbs 31, we find the words of King Lemuel. Now, I mentioned earlier that Jerome did not believe that Solomon was the only writer. Remember that? And this is the reason why. He rejected the idea that Solomon was the only writer simply because of the fact that Proverbs 30, it says that Agur wrote it. In Proverbs 31, it says that King Lemuel wrote it. However, according to Jewish tradition, King Solomon actually was known by seven different names. According to Jewish tradition, according to the scribes and the Jewish writings, King Solomon was known by seven names. Two of those names were Agur and Lemuel. And so therefore, because of that, I personally believe the whole book should be called the Proverbs of Solomon. I think the Jews had it right when they called it the Proverbs of Solomon. But this is the story. This is the outline of the book that you will find. Now notice very quickly the revelation number 4. The revelation number 4. Verse number 4 of Proverbs 30. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 4, we find a series of questions. A series of questions. Who hath ascended up into heaven? Or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? If thou canst tell. What is his name? God. What is his son's name? Jesus. Right? Jesus. Certainly, this is a reference to the Lord God. It's a reference to the Lord Jesus. But in the entire book of Proverbs, the wisdom of God that is described for us is most certainly seen, realized in the person of Jesus Christ. You see, we read the book of Proverbs with anticipation. That's what we would like to be like. We read the book of Proverbs with anticipation. But in Jesus Christ, we see it's done. It's fulfilled. In Him, we see all the wisdom of God lived out perfectly every day. That's why the Bible says, the Apostle Paul, Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 and verse 3, Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. In Christ is all that wisdom. The wisdom of God is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30, of Him, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God, now this is something God has done, God has made unto us, who? Christ. He's made Christ unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Christ. seen throughout the book of Proverbs. Because in the book of Proverbs, we find revealed the wisdom that guided him, and the wisdom that he practiced, and the wisdom that he followed all through the years of his earthly life. The wisdom of the world is the way of sin and death. Wisdom of God is the way of holiness and life. That brings us back to the choice that we saw before in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. Now that says verse 39 in your notes, but that's wrong. It should be chapter 30, verse number 19. And here's what it says. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death. Boy, that's pretty cut and dried, isn't it? I put before you life over here, death over here. No middle. It's one or the other, right? I put before you life, I put before you death, I put before you blessing, I put before you cursing. Therefore, do whatever feels good. Now you're a fool if you think that way. No, choose life. That both thou, get this, and thy seed. You see, parents, if you choose to walk in rebellion against the wisdom of God, not only is it going to bring tragedy and heartache to your life, you're going to share it with your kids. Something to think about. And so the admonition, choose life over death. Choose God's blessing over God's cursing. And how do you do that? By choosing to walk according to God's wisdom. May God help us to pray, as we saw in the very beginning, to pray as James instructed. Lord, we need wisdom. Give us the wisdom we need to be what we ought to be in our life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for this wonderful book.